out. This is our story. Sing it together. Come on.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. But chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. But you called me a citizen of heaven. When I was born.
Good morning, everyone. How you doing? Everybody good? Let's try that again. Good morning. There we go. So, everyone, welcome. We are. I want to draw your attention to your announcement sheet here. As I grab them, I know we have a Stephen Ministry insert that is in there. So, if you look here, I want to talk about Stephen Ministry. This is for anybody who would like to become a Stephen minister. So, they're going to be doing training very soon, and if you're interested, please connect to that. And there's an insert with more information. Also, information about the Paris Foundation. Our next time is June 16th, which is Father's Day, right? And then Miguel's birthday. But it's also Father's Day. Another day, that's another big day too, because our baby bottle drive, those that may have received the baby bottles, they went out on Mother's Day, and we collect those on Father's Day. And if you need them, you can still get them. You fill them with change or whatever, and that will go to the Cecil County Pregnancy Center if you want to connect to that. Grief Share, which is also associated with Stephen Ministry, you can see they will begin a new group of that on June 23rd, and you can read the different topics of what to expect in the loss of a spouse, what to do with surprising emotions, how to handle loneliness and changing relationships, and how to find strength to go on. And I know those who have connected to Grief Share really appreciate that ministry and have grown closer to everyone else. We all deal with grief, correct? And so God never wanted us to deal with it alone. So that's one of the great premises there that we have. Again, 2019 graduates. We still want to collect those, whether they are from high school. How many have been to a graduation or a graduation party? How many got a card in the mail announcing graduation? They want you to send money? Okay, there you go. So we want to go ahead and do that. Also, college graduates as well. And even if others have gone through military or something similar, we want to recognize all those that are part of that. A youth group will meet today after church as well. And again, we want to just welcome everybody who's here, particularly if you're visiting. We also have some prayer requests. We want to lift up Robin Hildebrand, asked for prayer for Don Smith, who had a difficult back surgery yesterday, and he's in ICU with oxygen issues. And also Phyllis Davis and Doug Kennedy, prayers for Doug's brother George Kennedy, who has a brain aneurysm and getting surgery in 2 weeks. Okay, so we want to lift them in prayers. Also want to continue to lift Scott Arrow's mother in your prayers in that way. Also, Cindy Jenkins, a prayer request went out. We want to continue to lift them in your prayers. If anybody's been through the Elkton car wash, you know him. He's been in ICU with some complications as well. All right? So today, what we want to do, we want to begin with prayer today as we start off and just connect and ready to worship God. So join me in prayer, if you will. Heavenly Father, we are here again. This Sunday seems like the weeks just pass by extremely quickly. But, Lord, we know that that time is something we're bound to, not you. And so, God, as we take this time to stop and to worship you, as we seek what you have for us to tell us in this last week of this series, What Makes You Happy? And some of us, God, as we've gone through this, find out that we're pretty miserable. And it has little to do with circumstances and everything to do with three things. Being at peace with you, ourselves, and others. And so, God, today, as we wrap this up, we want to lift up these prayer requests, people who are struggling with several different health illnesses and others who are dealing with transitions of those children that are beginning ready to leave the nest because of graduations or other deals. So, God, whatever you have for them, we ask that your healing protection be with those who are facing surgeries and all kinds of other things. And for those of us who are here, God, just minister to us, touch our hearts, touch our minds, help us just stop the world around us that we get so focused on. And like last week we were talking about, putting pleasure over happiness will never, ever lead to happiness. We won't get either. But God, when we put happiness and contentment and peace in you first, we get all things. And so, Lord, what incredible worship last week. Let us just continue to keep that same fervor as we just sing and praise your name. And that your presence just meet us here, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Everybody says, amen. Let's stand up and let's worship the Lord.
Put your hands together. Passionate fire, flood my soul, keep my days. Keep my days for your glory. Secure my heart. Secure my heart for your ways. Oh, oh, oh. I cling to you, Lord. Display your radiant love, stir my soul. Keep my days for your glory. Yeah. Secure my heart for your way. My gaze. set my gaze to the kingdom. Ignite my love for your name.
Come on, church, lift it up.
Set my gaze to the kingdom. Ignite my love for your name. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I cling to you, oh, Lord of all, strong deliverer. Oh, my life is yours. Oh, whoa, whoa. Surrender everything I am to you, my only hope. Oh, my life is yours. Yeah. Oh, my life is yours. It's yours. Yours, Lord.
Come on, you can pick it up a little bit here. You can wake up a little bit more.
You call us out from the depths into your freedom. Our chains are gone.
Are you happy about that?
In form shall prevail. Your word is stronger, we've overcome. Your glory resounds through the age, all saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken. We will not fear. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Your glory resounds through the age. All saints declaring your great renown. Your kingdom forever will stand. We won't be shaken, no, we will not fear. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name.
Yeah.
And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand alone, a strong defender. Above you there's no other. Above you there's no other. And we declare your name is power. Exalted one, your name is higher. You stand.
above you, there's no other. 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 Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign, we triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign, we triumph in your name. Our God, a mighty warrior, you're a consuming fire. In victory you reign, we triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander, you conquer death forever. In victory you reign, we triumph in your name.
Church, lift this up with me. Sing it out loud.
God, I need you. I need you. I need you. Every breath, every pulse of my heart. Christ, have mercy. Have mercy. Let mercy abound. I need you. I need you. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. God, I'm longing to see you. In your presence, all darkness will fade. Shine your glory, let glory surround. I'm longing to see you now. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. All of my praise for this glorious grace. Thank you.
for your glory, my all in all. You are worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. I worship you. God, I need you, I need you now.
Lord, we thank you for your presence that's here already as we continue in our worship now as we receive your tithe and our offerings. God, whether we want to stand and praise you or want to sit down and praise you, let us continue in that attitude of praise. For Lord, you reign forever and ever. And the ministry and the calling that you've given this church, I give you thanks. As God, we now open up and receive your tithe and your offerings. Multiply them and use them, God, to further your kingdom, not ours. In Christ's name we pray.
Good when there's nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin.
You are peace.
You are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign.
You are more.
In your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go.
I'm running.
And though I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares. Heart will sing, no other name. Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name.
Jesus,
Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus,
I'm running.
And though I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares.
Amen. At this time, our children are going to head to our Haven Kids Ministry and just take a few brief moments to greet those around you, and then we'll continue with the rest of our worship.
All right, man. Good luck. Or bad luck, I'm not sure.
Is Galatians 5:19 through 23. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Right, that's the last week you're going to see that, at least here. So, I said when I look at the series and we end up putting together like the intro stuff, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then after looking about 6 weeks, I'm done with that. Okay, so but hopefully you're not done with the concept of this. This series has been since Easter, believe that or not, right? The week after Easter, and we've been talking about what makes you happy. And just to let you know, a lot of things I thought that made me happy really don't. And we spend a lot of time and effort on those things that don't make us happy. This is a group study that we've been doing based off of Andy Stanley, Pastor Andy Stanley, down in Atlanta. And also, if you've been, hopefully you connected to a small group. If you haven't, there's also Right Now Media, but it'd be great to do things together. So it's really good. I've enjoyed it myself, except for I don't know what makes me happy. And so we're trying to work those things out, correct? Everybody good? Are you good today? You enjoying the weather the last couple days? Feels good. Feels like everything's awesome because a lot of times we won't be happy because it's supposed to rain again, correct? And then middle of the year, somebody will say we need more rain and we'll have to remind them about what April did, right? Remember when we were like, we need a boat. Okay. So I did find it very funny. I heard that the Noah's Ark out in Kentucky is actually suing its insurance company for not paying for flood damage. Isn't that kind of funny? So anyway, that's the world we live in now, just to let you know. We're glad that Noah built the ark and not the people out in Kentucky, all right? So anyway, I just find humor in the most ridiculous things in life. Okay, so today, we are starting with today, and so we're going to do a quick rundown, see how well you paid attention, okay? So we've done this several weeks. In week one, we were talking about the thing that doesn't make us happy, and what was our concept? Fill in the blank. No thing makes us happy. No thing makes us happy. In other words, we can buy and we can have and we can want and we can desire. And this is what all marketing is geared to, correct? Telling us that we need something that we've never needed before and we've got to have it. And if we had the old one, we got to have the new improved one. And we've got to have all that. And that's going to make us happy. But the problem is happiness is not immediate. Am I right? And so we need that. So because happiness is not immediate, we have another ing at the end here. And that was week two. And what was it? Sowing, very good. Say it like you mean it. Sowing, not like knit one, pearl two, but that we put things in. What we put in, we get out. What we put into our relationships, what we put into our jobs, what we put into everything, we receive. And so happiness is not an immediate outcome, but there are behaviors and habits that we can put in place in order to bring about happiness. And just the other side of that, there is behaviors and habits that can help us grow a crop of unhappiness as well. And some of us may have existed in that life. Over the next couple weeks, we don't have the blanks there, but we also talked about, you know, being at peace with God and ourselves and others. Last week, we talked about when we put pleasure over happiness, we get neither. But when we put happiness, which means peace with God, ourselves, and others, first, then we get both, and we get it all. And so these are some of the things here. Honestly, what I believe the most important concept in kind of thinking about this is what we put in, we get out. And so we have to, Jesus told us we have to sow for it. We have to sow for it, and we have to get that. So that brings us right here. So if we're never happy, we need to plan for those things. And that brings us to today. Today I'm going to give you a counterintuitive argument, which means it doesn't make sense. But that's why we're here, because what we do naturally doesn't make sense to God, because we were created to be supernatural beings, not natural beings. And so what we see here, some of you may think, if you haven't experienced this, if you haven't done this in life, you may say, he's just trying to get me to do some stuff. He's got an ulterior motive. And I promise you, I don't. I don't have an ulterior motive, as I do most of the time. Today is just to go ahead and share this last week to kind of really put the cherry on the top of the sundae. And I want to say this, and it's simply this. As long as you are all about you, you won't be happy. As long as you are all about you, you will not be happy. Now, that is totally counterintuitive to our culture. We talk about getting mine, taking care of me, taking care of those close to me, and guess what? Then I will have everything I want. But honestly, what I'm trying to say is you can't fulfill yourself. You can't fulfill you. You are not enough. That's the name of the sermon. You are not enough to make you happy. And remember last week we talked about you are your own worst enemy. How many of you had a moment or two this week that you were your own worst enemy? Like you just woke up on the wrong side of the world? Anybody? Okay, good. Yeah, sometimes you just get nasty. Anybody just nasty? If you don't want to answer, I'll ask the person sitting next to you. They know. The answer is yes. Okay? So we are our own worst enemies in life time and time and time again. We can't fulfill ourselves. We need more than we can offer. We get in the way often what God wants us to be. For instance, we think that our job, our money, our weight, and our health, if we had a better car, if I was a different size, if I was the size I was in high school, I'd feel a lot better. If I had more money than anybody around me, then I'll be happy. If I had that job that they gave to that other person, that would make me happy. We have this conditional, if I had thus and so, then I would be that way. And that's what we're told all the time in life, aren't we? We are told that constantly in life. But the bottom line is, if we get all those things, we still won't be happy. Have you ever known people who've exercised to the point that they've lost and they've gotten in great shape? And at first, when people say, wow, you look great, people are like, yeah, and you feel good. And then when people, after they see you after a while, they forget telling you that you look great. And then it becomes normal, and then people aren't happy again. What do I have to do now to fill that void? Happens time and time again. For those of you or those who are graduating, people are like, oh, congratulations. They have parties around you and they do everything. And guess what? Particularly after high school graduation, after everybody surrounds you, it's like, oh, after that, nobody cares jack squat about you. Am I right? Am I right? They don't care. And that's the reality of life that we see. But this is the opposite of what we believe, though. if I get things, if I have certain things, if I engage in certain relationships, then I will go ahead and be happy. What I'm trying to say here is this. You can't acquire, consume, or exercise your way to happiness. You can't do it. And think about this. If you don't believe me, you say, no, well, I don't know. Think about it this way. We look at what others have, what they acquire, what they consume, what they look like, and we say, if I look like that, if I bought that, if I went ahead and exercised like that, if I went ahead and consumed those things like that, then I will be happy. It's that conditional relationship, isn't it, constantly, with stuff. If, then. So here's the problem. We tend to look around us at times, and when we look around us, we think we're not as happy as others. And here's the funny thing. The people that we look at and we think that if I had that, I'd be happy, they look at us and say, if I had that, then I'd be happy. And so we're just a mess looking at each other saying, I'd be happy if I had that. And they say, well, I'd be happy if I had that. And we don't tell anybody about it because it's all a big lie to every single one of us. And what we do, we create something. We create something called a composite person. A composite person. You say, what do I mean by that? We say, if I had his car, if I had her job, if I had his wife, if I had their kids, then I would be happy. And we do that all the time. If I had that marriage, if I went and did this for my job, then I would. And we live in that constantly, constantly, constantly. And it's never totally one person. There is never one total person that we say, if I was that person, then I'd be happy. It's never one person. We pull parts of people's lives together and we create this composite person. And what we create is Frankenstein. Because Frankenstein was a bunch of different parts. And he weren't too pretty, was he? Right? And we want to go through life like, I'm happy, right? That's what we want to do. And we think that's going to make us happy, but it doesn't do that. And as we're doing this, Frankenstein is a what? Monster. Is a monster. And that's what happens. We think if we have that monster, that will be the greatest thing. And here's the thing. Don't believe in monsters. This person doesn't even exist. The person in our mind and ideology does not even exist. And what I'm trying to say to you is you can't acquire, you can't consume, you can't get fit enough to go ahead and make you happy. And so I want to show you, here's a little of my composite person. Here we go, right here. All right. If I was as talented to win the Super Bowl, then I'd be happy. If I was the MVP of the Super Bowl, I'd be happy. If I was as powerful as the President of the United States, like my comb over, then I would be happy. If, well, I already am, okay, if I was as fit as Arnold Schwarzenegger, then I would be happy. Anybody here with me? And I could do a number of other ones that are here. If I had the intelligence of so-and-so, then I would be happy. I could put more and more and more together. And guess what? This person combined does not exist at all. But in my mind, I believe in it. I'm believing in fairy tales that then I will totally be happy. And even if you cannot acquire, consume, exercise your way to happiness, even if you can't do that, here's something you can do. You can serve and volunteer your way there. Now, here's where you say, here's his ulterior motive. Here's what Cohen's doing. He's trying to get us to do something. I got it. You build us up with that, you know, sexy picture of you without your shirt on. And then you go ahead and you say, now you try to say, I'm going to look like Arnold if I get that. No, you're not. You're not going to do that. But those who have experienced this serving and volunteering and being connected, you find out that this is true. It makes no sense that in our busy lives, when we give away, we actually get more and we feel better and we experience life in a different way. Some of us have been so busy in life, consuming and exercising and acquiring, that we have never found time to serve or volunteer at one moment in our entire life. And so let's just take Jack and church stuff out of it. Let's look at some research. There have been numerous research. You can Google it to the day you die if you want to. About the connection between happiness, health, and volunteering, and ultimate selflessness in your life. Over and over and over again, they show a positive connection. For instance, the University of Chicago several years ago wanted to do a research on what are the most fulfilling or the most satisfying jobs that are out there. And they were saying, who's happy in work? Okay? And so here's some things that they found in these satisfying jobs. And they put them in several categories. And you can see these right here. The first things that they found are that your job is in this category of caring for others, teaching others, protecting others, and then creative pursuits, such as music, art, photography, those kind of things. They found overwhelmingly, if your job fits in these categories, you tend to have a satisfaction level in your job more than any other person that walks the face of the earth. And so, and here's what's interesting. None of these there has been research, and none of it shows a correlation between the income level that you make and your happiness. What they have shown is simply this, that when people are able to pay the bills and have food on the table and have shelter, it doesn't matter if they are in this level, they are happy and satisfied in their jobs. A study in the UK where there's brilliant British people, okay? They did this story and they went over 40 other studies in a longitudinal study over a period of 20 years. They looked at all these studies about happiness and health and how it relates to serving. And they looked at this link between volunteering and happiness and health and volunteering. And here's what they found. They found that volunteering decreases these things here. If you volunteer, it shows that you decrease your depression, you decrease heart disease. In teens, they find that you have lower drug use and unplanned pregnancies, and overall, people who volunteer tend to have lower levels of stress. That sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? That you would think that as busy as our lives are, if we do something else and we volunteer and we help out, that would send our stress level higher, correct? It would show that we might be more depressed because we're trying to juggle many, many things. But overwhelmingly, time and time again. And here's what the report said. They said, if you are a parent and you have teenagers, you should force them to volunteer. That's exactly what it says. It says, even volunteering with bad attitudes still has positive results. Isn't that awesome? Because we know teens have bad attitudes about everything, am I right? And some of you are grown-up teens and you have bad attitudes about everything as well. And so force volunteering, force yourself to do something that is giving your life away shows great results. So here's another thing about volunteering. It doesn't only decrease certain things, but they found out that if you volunteer and you serve, that it actually increases these other things. Look at this. It increases psychological well-being. It increases your physical health. It helps with your self-esteem. It gives you longevity, and it gives you a better quality of life are some of the things that did. This is a 20-year study on other studies that they found out. So there is a correlation, and you could spend all day, the rest of the day, looking up these things. That selfishness and volunteering and serving have a great effect on your well-being, which ultimately brings happiness to your life as well. So you may say at this point, well, how can behaving selfishly make myself happier, Jack? How can that happen? Here you are. You're saying, how can behaving selflessly really go ahead and help myself, help me and the self that I am become happier? Or I may want to even ask it another way. How can emptying myself leave me feeling full? It doesn't make sense, does it? Not one bit. And here, I'm going to give you two words, one of them you got on your paper already, but two words that are going to explain this, and it's simply this: divine design. Divine design. You were created by God to live life with your hands open. That's how you were created. You were created by God to love, care, serve, and bear with one another. In other words, there's a lot of one another's in the Bible. Love one another. Care for. Serve. Bear with. There's a lot of one another's, and that is how you were designed, for one another. I know that makes you miserable right now, but it won't. It thinks that, because we know some of the one another's that we have to bear with. Has anybody ever born, whatever, you get it, with someone who is difficult to bear with? Are you that person who is difficult to bear with? Okay? By doing those things, we see that, but there's something that you have. There's time and time again, and I'm telling you, overwhelmingly in this role, I have over the last 24 years, gone ahead and bared with one another, out of loving one another, out of caring one another. And I've seen people who have come, who are in the pit of addiction. Seen people who are in the overwhelming weight of being a single parent and being evicted. I mean, if you want something humble, go sit and watch little kids sit on the curb while they're being evicted because the parents have no money or nothing there. It will change your heart. And if you can do something, you want to do something. All right? I've been through that journey, and I've had the joy of taking away a problem for a moment, but in order to help somebody get to a higher plane. Some people are just caught in a system that just continues. They're caught in generational problems. The numbers on single and poverty-stricken single mothers generationally is overwhelming. Is overwhelming. And you see it time and time again. And then if you see a 9-year-old that is in this situation, you realize it's only a couple years later that some guy's going to come along and tell them everything that they want to hear because they never got it here and because the church wasn't loving one another and bearing with one another as we should. And so they're going to connect to somebody and then they're going to get pregnant and then they're going to continue the cycle and it's going to continue on and on again. And I don't believe it's a government program that breaks that. I believe it's the church. I believe it's the body of Christ answering the one another's. And I truly believe that to my heart. If we do everything else in the world, and don't love one another or care for one another or serve one another or bear with one another, we've missed the point of what Christ called us to do. And we can have the best entertainment. We can have the best preacher. We can have the best small groups. We can have the greatest Sunday school. We can have the greatest everything. But if we don't love one another, we've missed it. Completely. Because we were divinely designed to bear with one another. In order to truly be happy, what I need to say is I've got to find a way to give my life away. Long before this sermon, I remember I was teaching a philosophy class and we were talking about what's the meaning of life. And I went around and I said, what's the purpose of your life? And I went around to a class of a whole bunch of people and they had some really good answers. And then they do that thing that I hate and everybody hates when you're in charge. They say, what about you? And I said, I'm the teacher. Forget it. So I don't have to answer. I got the initials after my name, which means I don't have to. But they said, no, come on. And I thought for a second and I didn't even think like biblically. I just thought about life. And I said, I honestly think that my purpose is to give my life away. And they said, oh, that's a really nice answer. And I said, good, let's move on. Because with that, I can tell you, let's go back to where we were before. If you're at peace with God, you want to give your life away. If you're at peace with others, you want to give your life away. But if you're not totally at peace with yourself, what I told you I struggle with at times, there's times where you love to give it away and there's times when you are broken because you're giving it away and you don't know who you are. Are you with me? Anybody, does that make sense to anybody? And so it's so key as we look about happiness that we have to be at peace in those areas. And if you think you're at peace with others, I'm going to tell you where you'll know that you aren't. If somebody changed something that you're used to a pattern that's going and you get aggravated that it's changed, you're not at peace with either yourself or others, right? If somebody aggravates you to packing that you just want to throw them off the edge of the world, you know, you're like buying into the flat earth and you're hoping you're going to take them there. That means you're not totally at peace with others. And if God is calling you to do something and you're constantly conflicted about it and you keep telling God, no, you're not fully at peace with him. And guess what? If you don't have that, you won't have happiness. And if you don't do that, then you won't give your life away. You won't give your life away. And so that's where we end up. As you know, one of the things I've seen is some of the happiest people I know are also some of the most selfless people I've ever known in my life. I know an evangelist, he would come over to our house. He had holes in his shoes and everything else, and he didn't care. There was one guy, he's a little bit weird, but he came to our house. He came for like a Sunday service, came on Saturday night, stayed till like Thursday. And I'm like, I was a kid. I was like, is this guy ever going home? And they're like, I don't know. Maybe his car was put together with like bumper stickers, you know what I mean? Like held together, you know those guys? And they're all Christian bumper stickers. Right? Anybody seen anybody like this? And he would act as people. He would act as somebody back in like early Methodism, and then he'd act like Elijah, and he was kind of a good guy. But I remember when my parents had him at his church one time, really kind of good, but a little wacky, you know what I mean? And I remember I had him at one of the first churches I was at, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to have a contingency plan so he does not come to our house and stay. That's where I was. You get it? You know it. But he was happy. And didn't have many of the things that many of us do in life. But he was happy and content. And so as we look at life, we find out that some of these happy people, it's not the income that they have that makes them happy. We look at them and we want something that they have because they have a peace. They have a peace that is wild. I've said it before. I remember Reggie, who was one of the first people that we loved and loved us in homeless ministry. And that guy had a peace that was insane, that just brought it to us. And I'm thinking, how do you do this? And he'd be like, hey, yeah. And he'd say some of the most outlandish things, but he was happy and at peace. It was wild. I felt him encouraging me rather than vice versa. That's wild. And we see that. As Debbie read to us, the Apostle Paul went ahead and recognized this divine design thing when he began to go ahead and speak to a church in Galatia. And just to let you know, our next series is going to be on the book of Galatians. Throughout the year, what I like to do is I like to kind of take a book of the Bible and just dig in. And I thought, wow, let's do Galatians. Because Galatians, it works perfectly. This is the last verse that we're using in Galatians. And Galatians is about freedom. It fits with 4th of July. Fits with God. Also, some of the responses that people wanted to know is, how do I live this relationship with Christ? And I think Galatians is an excellent book to go ahead and really get into. So that's where we're going to be for the next several weeks in the book of Galatians. I've got a great title for the sermon. It's called Galatians. There you go. All right? I worked hard on that one. All right? Hey, you try to figure something out in the early wee morning, okay? All right, but anyway, so you can tell people, hey, we're going to have a series on Galatians. They say, what's it called? You say, Galatians? Okay, there we go. All right, but look at what it says in Galatians chapter 5, that Paul is writing to this church in the province of Galatia, and he talks about two approaches to life, and he gives us two lists of things that are associated with them. Last week, we talked about putting pleasure over happiness and how if you do that, you get none. But if you put happiness over pleasure, you can get everything there. And Paul embraces this truth. And he starts by saying this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Now, when he's talking about flesh, this is, I want you to tap into the mind of that deviant person in your mind. You know, that for those Star Wars fans, the dark side of yourself, right? The bad force part, right? The dark side of the force. Anybody with me? Okay, so I want you to get into that evil side. That kind that when somebody's taking too long crossing the crosswalk at Walmart, you want to mow them over, you know, and you want to back over them again and run over again, right? And you're laughing because you all have done it, okay? And you probably will do it right after church as well, okay? You'll be like, oh, I love, I'm bearing with one another. Move it, you know, okay? Okay, all right, so now that we're all together, he says the acts of the flesh are obvious. These are the things that if nobody knew, there was no consequence, that you could live by your impulses. And nobody would ever, ever know. You could live this out, like just that animalistic, this is what I want to do, okay? He says the acts of flesh are obvious. There's sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, which is basically just getting the gods to do God to do what you want to do at your bidding. Witchcraft is having all of nature answer your bidding and do what you want. He said hatred, discord, and jealousy. Then he continues, and Paul says, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I love that Paul says, there's too much to say, but and the like. And I think that Paul's given us a good list of what goes on in his mind. You know, we've all been here. You know, we like to put stained glass Paul up there, but this is what he was talking about. This is what he's living. Paul says, if I go with the flow, if I live as culture, if I live and do what I want to do, this is what I do. And this is, these acts of the flesh are happiness at somebody else's expense. Your selfishness is always at someone else's expense. Even if you're not caught, even if you're not held accountable, it affects somebody else. Why? Because the acts of the flesh are always associated with appetites. And as we talked about the other week, an appetite always wants more. You can go to the smorgasbord and you can fill yourself up and you can be sitting there and go, oh, I'm miserable. And you will still find area for that dessert. And then when you get home in an hour, you'll be like, what we got to eat? Because appetites are always hungry. And if you keep feeding that appetite, it gets bigger and so do you. And so if we keep filling the appetites of the list here, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually, it's going to be like we talked about the other week, where that thing that became the habit eventually becomes the obsession and you become a slave to that. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying this is one area of the life. You're never going to be satisfied with that appetite, and that appetite's never going to be satisfied. But then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. And notice what he does here. The fruit of the Spirit versus the act of the flesh. There's a contrast that's here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, if we live the way God wants us to, if we give our life away, this is what the result is. You can plant a seed of an apple seed with one of those pots on your head, like Johnny Appleseed. You can plant that in the ground, and you can go out the next day, and you have nothing there. It takes development, it takes time, it takes the right conditions to get the apples off of that tree. Same thing is here, same thing with happiness. You can't be happy right away tomorrow. You have to sow it. And what he's saying is when you sow your life in God's pattern, you get this in the fruit of the Spirit. You live by the Spirit, you get this. You live by the flesh, you get all that other stuff that's there. And then he gives this great and one of the most powerful statements. And he says this, against such things, there is no law. There is no law. Now, I think I have a list. Do I not have a list right there, Melinda? Here we go. Look at this. Against these things, there is no law. Loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-control. How many of you would love your family, all your family, to be like this? How many would love every relationship to be like this? How many would love your boss to be like this? How many of you would like to be like that at work? How many, this would just, you'd love for this to be your life and to have all these different things. Imagine, dare we imagine our community, if our community was loving and more kind and more good and more faithful and more self-controlled. What if we were like that and patient? Oh, dare I even say this? What if our nation was more loving and more joyful and more faithful and more self-controlled? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a culture that's like a utopia where we don't have to lock our doors and we don't have to even have people who we have to obey the speed limit because we don't care? We're like, oh, yeah, no, you go. No, I don't care whether I'm sitting here forever. Go, please go, please go. We're just good to people. All that stuff is there. Against these things, there is no law. All these things would make us happier because we were made and designed by God for this. You see, selfishness is natural. Selfishness is natural, but not by God's design. The more selfless we are, the more we are in tune with God's design, and the happier we become. So you may say, okay, Jack, I'm trying to figure this out still. But how do we measure the value of life? How do we do that? Let me display this. I've had a couple funerals in the last week. I mean, one year I had 35 funerals. It was a big one. But I want to show you a list of some things. Okay, so can we put this list up here? The value of life. Now let's put this here. Let's say we're at a funeral. Okay. At a funeral, everybody sounds better than they were. Have you noticed? So, like, nobody stands up and says, we're here for Edgar. And Edgar, you know, he was just such an inspiration to us. He was the most angry, selfish, argumentative, hateful. He was so immoral. He slept with everything that walked by. I mean, he was so indulgent. He would take food from homeless people. I mean, what a great guy. None of us do that, do we? We don't want to be known for this list in life. And if we know somebody like that, because we have known people who have lived life that way, they've wasted their lives. They've wasted their lives. But the lie, that's the lie we're all living by. If we indulge, if we do what feels good, if we go ahead and we get super angry, if we're selfish, if we collect it all for us, then whoever dies with the most toys wins. But that's not what we do at funerals. Yet even if that we know that's not true right now, that all of us know this is not what we want people to share with us at our funeral, we still wake up, at least I do every day, wake up thinking in my mind what I'm going to acquire, consume, and how I'm going to get fitter so I can feel better about myself. And God just looks at us and goes, what in the world? That's not why I created you. You see, the value of a life is always measured by how much of it is given away. If you go ahead and have somebody who says, you know what, that person was the most loving person I knew. They took me in. I've been at funerals where people said, when I had no family, they took me in and treated me as their own child. When I was struggling and my marriage and relationship was struggling, that person took time and sat with me and my spouse. And because of that, our marriage is saved. Okay? I was a bad person, and that person never gave up on me. They kept telling me I was God's child and kept loving me through all my mess. And I'm going to tell you today, because of that voice, that's why I'm here. That's what we want to hear in life. Why? And why do we feel better about that? Because that's how God designed us, to give our lives away. And right now, in your mind, maybe even some of these situations I've been saying, you have somebody in your life that came to your mind who gave their life away enough that you are here and you're not on a poster in the post office somewhere, right? And that your relationship, although may not be perfect, is still together because someone took time and effort to be there with you and love you. See, it's not difficult. It's just backwards for how we think we're supposed to live. In winding this down today, I want to show you something. I want to show you a picture. And I want to tell you, do not be this. Do not be this right here. This is the Dead Sea. Okay, I know Robin, you were just there, right? And Joe, I know you've been there too. And some of you others may have been. This is the Dead Sea. Now, some of us may know some things about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth, okay? And the water in Israel flows from Mount Hermon all the way down through the Jordan River into the Sea of Galilee, which is about 87 miles north of the Dead Sea, and it flows out of the Sea of Galilee in all the way down and flows into the Dead Sea, the lowest point on earth. So it has no place else to run. It goes in there. Now, the interesting thing about this, the only way that water leaves there is through evaporation, but it is like if you were just pouring down through a hose into a bucket, you would think that it would just keep filling up and keep filling up and keep filling up. But here's the thing. It's the Dead Sea because nothing lives there, because the salt content is the highest in the world, even more than the Great Salt Lake. You can't swim. All you do is float. Bloop. Just float around. Da-da. And then you can't stay in too long because you'll be saltified, right? And there's these big salt things that stick out all over the place. Anybody has a Hava lotion, this is where it comes from, because they found out some benefits from here. But here's the thing that you may not know, and I'm going to show you this picture right here. The Dead Sea is drying up. This is actually not two seas. This is the Dead Sea, and if you open your Bible map and look, it shows a little part there it's connected. The Dead Sea, and this is a picture from 1989, actually disconnected and became two different areas. And it makes no sense that what's being poured in that should just stay there and grow and get higher and higher is disappearing. It's disappearing here time and time again. Let's look at this next picture. This shows the difference. The one on the far is 1972. The next one is 1989. And you can see that now they are pouring thousands and thousands of gallons extra in there to try to save the Dead Sea. And that is 2011. More and more. 87 miles north, there is a sea teeming with life that is the source of all water for all of Israel. It has fish and life. The Jordan River has life and fish. But in the one area where this same water is being poured into, it's dying. It's dying. It's a great illustration, if we think about it, of our lives. If we don't figure out how to give our life away, then we're going to become the Dead Sea. And we're going to be dying. We're going to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller. We're going to become more frustrated and more frustrated and more frustrated. We're going to try to become that composite person that's impossible to become, because we were designed by God to give our life away. So as we wrap up this series, there's a couple things I just want to share right here. If it's all about you, you will never, ever, ever be happy. Why? Because you were designed by the giver of life to give your life away. My question is, where is that? I can't give it to you. You got to find it. You got to say, where do I want to give my life? Where's the difference I want to make? What do I want people to say at my funeral about how I gave my life away to so many others? And when you're at peace with God and you're at peace with others and you become at peace with yourself and you give your life away and you seek happiness over pleasure, as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else is added as well. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, as we have come here to this point where we seek about really digesting and thinking about what makes us happy, God, how do we measure a life? The value of the life is one that is given away. And so, God, I thank you for all those people who gave their life away to me, that have helped me become who I am, the mess that I am, and even though I'm not perfect, God, I thank you that you have taught me in many areas of my life to go ahead and give my life away. And so, Lord, as this room is filled with people who reach so many more people than one person ever could, I thank you that right now they're going through their minds of the people that gave their lives away to help save relationships, to help them become who they are, to help them in their careers and their lives and be better parents and just to be the people that you've called them to be. Because God, you designed us not to be the Dead Sea, but you designed us to be the Sea of Galilee that receives and passes on. Isn't that exactly what the Apostle Paul said? What I have received, I have passed on to you. God, it's not easy to do the one another's. It's not easy to love one another when there's people who just aren't very lovable in this world and as we view them. And God, it's not easy to care for one another when some people could care less about anybody else. It's not easy to bear with one another when so many people out there just want to take advantage of you and there's other people that just, they can barely bear with themselves. But God, it's how you designed us. And so, God, empty us out so that you can fill us up with your love and your grace. That as we live by the Spirit with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Oh, God, what a change in our church. What a change in our community. What a change in our state. What a change in our country. And, God, even what a change in our world when we give our lives away in those areas. So, Lord, this is your time for you to minister and speak to us. And I ask that specifically right now, God, that you just speak to us about where we can give our life away, where we can be more at peace with you, more at peace with others, and more at peace with ourselves, so we can truly find out what makes us happy, and that's living in you. So, God, this is your time, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand. And pray, and just to seek God in any way.
it's pretty awesome that that song that's been around for a while now in the Christian community is now everywhere on the radio. And that people are saying, God, you have every failure and every victory. People are singing it out there. Because when we love one another, when we bear with one another, the world's filled with people who don't know who they are. More importantly, they don't know whose they are. And they get that by us loving God, loving ourselves, and loving one another, and having peace in those areas. And then we can truly be happy. All right? You guys a little bit happier? Or you're like me, a little bit more miserable because you know where you got to get to, right? That's how it happens. So, again, next week we're going to start and begin the series with a really tough name called Galatians. So we're going to talk about that. So go tell somebody, hey, you got to come to this next series, Galatians. It'll be awesome. Have a great week, and may God make you happy and peaceful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here you go, Chris.